Everybody, welcome to Homefront Online, second edition. We're going to be jumping right back into, I think this is number 14 in the series, annual maintenance check or annual inspection. And if you're just starting with us, what this is all about is we're just kind of building off the metaphor of an airplane inspection, the thing that allows some airplanes that have been around for a really long time to keep flying safely. Accomplishing their mission, accomplishing the thing that they were designed for. And so we've kind of taken that and used that as a metaphor to look at all the different aspects, how to sort of get under the hood of our marriages and look at everything from, let's see, we've been, all the things we've talked about so far, grace, the power of grace in our marriage, conflict resolution, family of origin, finances, we've been all over the place. And so today we're going to pick up and we're going to continue with that. And all of the other messages are online at restinbible.org/homefront. You can go and find them there if you'd like. Catch up on any of those. Most of them have discussion questions with them if you want to watch them and talk about them together or do it in a group. Definitely welcome you to do that. So where are we going today? Well, I want to start with a question. What is an airplane designed to do? What is an aircraft designed to do? And I know you're probably going to say that's a stupid question. An aircraft is designed to fly. Yes, it is. But as you can see from my pictures, I think you know where I'm going. And, even though aircrafts are all designed to fly, some of them are designed to particularly to fly carrying cargo, for example. Or some of them are designed for a military mission. Some are designed to be able to land and take off from water. There's short runway aircraft, there's bush aircraft, there's all kinds of different aircraft for different purposes, different missions. All of them, generally speaking, are flying to accomplish their mission, but specifically they're doing it in a different way. So that leads me to my second question. What is our marriage, what are our marriages designed to do? Now, generally speaking, and we talked about this in the beginning, marriages, the airframe or the structure of our marriage, the design of our marriage, is essentially about a covenant. It is a covenant relationship between a man and a woman that's designed to reflect and model the covenant relationship between Christ and the church in order to bring him glory. That is our overall mission. That's sort of like our fly, right? In airplane terms. But the big question and where it begins to get interesting is how do we do that? How do we do that? So I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. I hate to mix metaphors here, but I want to shift gears to another passage that I think helps explain this pretty well. That's from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And here's the key part. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Just as a side note, this is a multi-use verse. And actually, I'm going to get this. It's not completely disconnected from the message. I'll get back to this a little bit later on. But when Patricia and I were in our early 20s, 20, 21, and I began to talk to her about marriage. We were broke. I mean, we didn't have anything. She was still in college. I was still in college at the time. And we had no money. And, you know, between the two of us, we didn't have a nickel. So she said, well, you know, we should wait till we graduate college, wait till we get good jobs, wait till we can buy a house, wait till we can get a decent car. All of those kinds of things. And my sales pitch to her at the time was, listen, we can be poor and separate, or we can be poor together. And if we're poor together, like Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says, if two lie together, they keep warm. So at least we can keep warm. It worked. So it's not a terrible application of this verse. So and I will get back to that because it does have some connection to what we're talking about, but not just yet. So what are we talking about when we're talking about the cord of three strands? Well, let me talk about a cord a little bit here. I want to say four characteristic or four truths about a chord. First thing is this: a chord is a tool. A chord just sitting on a table is only has potential. It's not actually doing anything. So that's the first thing. It's a tool. It's for something. The second thing is that it was planned and assembled with that particular function in mind. The person that put it together, the person that decided what material they were going to use, had something in mind for that chord, had a particular purpose in mind. That chord doesn't exist for its own glory, so to speak. That's the second thing. Third thing is this, that a chord of three strands, in this case, is strong, but the strength of that chord is only realized when it's put to work. It's only realized when it's put under pressure, appropriate in the appropriate direction. Like if I grab that chord from the sides and do this with it, I'm just going to pull the strands apart. But if I grab that and I pull from the appropriate direction, whether I'm pulling, you know, if I have it vertically or horizontally, I can get that straight. that's when the strength of that chord is realized, when it's put to work, when it's put under pressure. And the fourth thing is that when the chord is put under pressure, something happens to its strands. Its strands grow closer together. They become tighter. The space between those strands gets smaller and smaller. It's much more difficult to pull those. If you were to put that thing under any kind of a pressure, then try to pull the strands apart this way, you'd have a very hard time. Now, what does that have to do with our marriages? Well, number one, Jesus said, "For what God has brought together, let no man separate." Right? Our marriage is a tool in God's hands. But it is only potential energy. It's only potential if it's not put to work. The second thing is that our marriages were designed in their own unique ways for a purpose. And generally speaking, that purpose is to witness or shine forth the truth about God, about Christ, about the kingdom, about the church. That's the purpose of our marriage. Paul talks about in Ephesians 5, 31 through 32, when he says, you know, he talks about marriage and he says, "But this mystery is great. I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church." The other thing is that our vertical relationship to the Father, right, when we are leaning on the Father in faith as a couple, right, with Jesus as our core, right, as our third strand and our cord of three strands, we are given, you know, our lives are pulled in, our marriage is pulled into strength, and it's pulled into alignment with what God designed it to be, to accomplish the good works, you know, that he says in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, the good works that he designed or he ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. It's only when we put that cord of three strands of our marriage, us, our spouse, and Jesus Christ in the middle, that we're actually in alignment, in proper alignment. It requires faith, right? Like we said, as you put the weight on that rope, the rope pulls into alignment. Its strength is only exercised when it's put under that weight. And so we have to place our full weight on the cord, right? Our full weight on the promises or the promise keeper for everything to fall into proper alignment in our marriage, in our relationships. And it's not, you know, in order so much. You know, we talk about, you know, some people will say, well, God first, and then, you know, my spouse, my kids, my community, and that's okay. There's some application for that. But what I'm talking about here more is an alignment of everything in our lives hanging on that one point, and that one point being the Creator God of the universe. And as we hang on Him, with our full weight leaning on and trusting in Him, everything else comes into alignment. The other part of it is, you know, we talk about with cords and things like that, as they're making cords, there's a part of the cord that's typically called the strength member. And what a strength member is it's the load-bearing component. It's the strongest of the cords within the cord. It's the weight-bearing component of a cable. It's designed to increase the overall tensile strength of that cable and to relieve the pressure on some of the other parts of it. And so in our accord, we need to remember that that third strand, that's Jesus Christ. He is our strength member. He is the one that's going to increase the tensile strength of our marriage. And so if it's critical that he be interwoven throughout every aspect of our individual lives, but also our married life, right? Let me pull up another passage here. Read this to you all. You can read it on your screen as well. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, there's that design again, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we were designed, we were workmanship, we were created and for a purpose, and the purpose was good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them, that we would walk in them. So just like the cord, or like the aircraft in our series metaphor, right? Our families, right? Our family was planned. Our families were planned. They were assembled. They were empowered by an all good, all loving, all powerful Father for a purpose, for a reason, not just for our own pleasure. Although God is interested in our pleasure and our happiness, our joy. But that wasn't the primary purpose that he designed and brought our marriage together. Because it's only when we live in the outward purpose of our marriage that we're most fulfilled as a couple, as a family. That's when we find our true joy, is when we find out what it is that God designed us for. You know, are we a cargo plane? are we an amphibious aircraft? I don't know. But it's only in finding out what that purpose is and then living in that purpose in faith that we really find fulfillment. And we can only do that. We can only live in that purpose in so much as our weight, our faith, right, is placed fully on the cord, allowing God to draw us both to himself and draw us close to one another, close to Jesus, abiding deeply with Christ and as one with our spouse. And in turn, drawing us and our expanded family sort of upward, this idea of being drawn upward into Christ, so that the fruit or the purpose that our family was designed for is fulfilled. So what is it? Right? What is this good? And there we go. That's what I needed. Somebody stomping through my... This is the joys of filming from home. On the home front. So this is very natural. This is good. I guess this is in place of getting heckled by Matt and Poe. So anyway, where was I? Yes. The question. So what is this work, this good work that God has ordained beforehand that you should walk in it? Now, as we touched on earlier, we all know that the overarching purpose, right, is to witness or to speak the truth about God, about Christ, about his kingdom, about the church, right? The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great. I'm talking about the relationship between Christ and the church. So we know that that's the overarching mission of our marriage. But what is it specifically for you? What is it specifically in your marriage? What is your cord of three strands? What's it made of? Let me try to paint this picture one more way. Okay? God is a storyteller. I like stories. I love stories. Narrative takes up most of Scripture. And the Bible itself tells a sort of this unified narrative, this unified story made up of many smaller stories. So What I want to talk about is three stories. We talked about three strands. I'm going to talk about three stories. The first one is my story, or your individual story, right? Every strand in the cord is made up of smaller individual fibers, right? And if you can imagine that those individual fibers are kind of the events, the culture, the experience, the genetics, the family that influenced the writing of your story. God wrote your story. God continues to write your story. God wove together your piece of the cord. But he did it with a purpose, and he intended that to be joined to other cords for a greater purpose. So that's the first story. The first story is your individual story, my individual story. But then God brought us together with someone, with our spouse. And so that your story then became our story. Right? My story became our story. When I married, God joined my story together with Patricia's story into one family story. And that becoming one flesh, as we all know, is not an easy experience. But the result of our persevering in it, it's quite satisfying. It can be quite satisfying. You know, then you add children into the mix and the storyline becomes more complex, more challenging, more frustrating. At times, for sure, but with the greater complexity, there's also greater, you know, a greater upside, I think, as you multiply the impact of your witness to another generation. So that's the second story. So you had your story, and then you had our story. But there's the most important story, I'd say finally and most importantly, is God's story, his story. It's the one that overarches and consumes the two lesser stories and gives them their true significance. Which brings us back to the question, what is God's story for your family? What is God's story for my family? We've already said what God's overall purpose is for all families, to witness, to declare, to shine forth the truth about him, about Christ's kingdom, about the church. And we know that those things are only possible in our marriage as far as we are faithfully abiding in Christ. But when we talk about what does that mean for me in my marriage? What does that mean for us? That's where it gets, in my opinion, anyway, that's where it gets especially exciting, right? What is my family's purpose? How do we specifically, how does the Myers family shine forth the truth about who God is and who Christ is? And about Christ's kingdom, and about the church, right? Our all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful Father in heaven is also all-creative. And just like there's all kinds of different aircrafts doing all kinds of different things, all sorts of missions, there are countless kinds of ropes, right, for countless tasks of different kinds. There's also libraries chock full of stories of all kinds, and each of them is the same in one sense, right? All the planes were built for flight, all the ropes were built for weight-bearing work, and all the stories are for telling a tale, but each of them is uniquely designed for a specific way of accomplishing that task by their designer, by their creator, and so were we. You know, maybe God designed your marriage to be a safe harbor for international students or those that are far from home. Maybe your marriage was designed to mentor younger couples who could benefit from couples with more experience. Maybe it's serving side by side in children's ministry or youth ministry, missionary support, or some combination of those things. I mean, really, I'm giving you some examples, but the opportunities, the possibilities, rather, are almost endless. You know, my family flies our mission in one way. The Myers family mission is flown in one way based on how God has woven us together. And, you know, that's changed over the years. And we've had the joy of getting to adapt our mission to how those things have changed, and how God has continued to tell, you know, our story. And yours is probably going to fly or may fly in a very different way than ours. And that's the beauty of this. The overarching mission is the same. And if we live within our designed purpose, living within our designed purpose, I should say, it breathes new life. It breathes new life into your family relationships. It can make you a family of impact in the kingdom of God. You know, one of the great truths about life and relationship is that shared experience, particularly shared struggle and shared suffering for a shared cause, draws people together into deeper, more committed relationships with one another, right? The rope. That rope draws closer together when it's put under pressure, when it's put under weight, when it's doing its job, right? This is sort of the band of brothers phenomenon that you often hear about among soldiers who've gone to war together. But the same is true in marriage. I talked to you guys a little bit about my sales pitch to Patricia from Ecclesiastes 4 about how even though we were poor, at least if we were married, we could keep each other warm. And that was actually very true. When I look back at our married life, we were married at 23, and Patricia still had a semester to go before she graduated from college. And we were really broke, and we struggled a lot, and we made a lot of mistakes, and we ate a lot of ramen noodles, and we passed several very, very cold Pennsylvania winters without heat in the house. But you know, when I look back on those things, and I think Patricia would agree, is that I wouldn't trade those things for the world, because it was those shared struggles and the shared suffering for a cause. And the cause at the time for us, you know, we grew an understanding of what our marriage was all about, really, as time went on. But we were fighting together to stay together, to honor God and honor our vows, and to build a life together. And in that struggle, we grew to learn what it was that God had really designed us for. And I think we're the stronger for it. So, finding a way to live in the purpose, on mission, with an outward-focused marriage will bless your marriage. So I can't encourage you enough to take this one very, very seriously. Maybe you already know what it is, and you're already living in it, and if you are, praise God, that's great. Maybe you were at one time, and you feel like maybe you've lost your focus, or you've lost your way, and you're not sure what that mission is supposed to be right now, and maybe this is a time for you to recalibrate. That's why we do an annual maintenance checkup, to find out which of these things might be in need of repair. And maybe this is one of those ones for you. And if not, hopefully during our discussion time, maybe you can help another couple that is looking to do some repairs in this area. So I've got some questions that we're going to go through. And hopefully, those of you that are watching this online, when we have done this originally during the coronavirus episode of 2020, hopefully we will be able to get together on Zoom and have a discussion. So I've got a little bit of homework for you guys first before I get to discussion questions. The first thing is this. I want everybody to just commit to do this. Pray this prayer. Pray Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Making that commitment to God is the big first step. Saying, God, we as a couple, we as a family, we will serve you. We and our house will serve you. In whatever ways you have designed us to do that, whatever doors you open, whatever need you show us, we're going to walk through it. And when we make that verbal commitment to God, it's an important thing. It's an important thing, and then we need to follow through. So pray that prayer, make that commitment together as a couple to the Lord. The second thing is this. I want you guys to, I said Psalm 24:1, right? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. Everything is God's. So what I would love for you guys to do is just sit down with a piece of paper If you have kids that are home and can participate, have your kids with you, take a piece of paper, and on one side, I want you just to write down everything that you can think of about your family, characteristics of your family, right? Your personalities. Are you introverts? Are you extroverts? Are you type A? What are your love languages? What are your interests? What are your hobbies? What are your passions? Your gifts and your talents, material possessions. You know, we got a lawnmower. We got 3 cars. We got 5 bicycles and, whatever it is, a couple computers. Write down what all that stuff is. Do an inventory. Do a spiritual inventory. What are our spiritual gifts as a family? Put all that on a piece of paper. The next thing I want you to do on the other side of the paper is to write down different ways that you can imagine or that God has put on your heart that your family can leverage all the stuff on the first side of the paper in the power of Jesus to shine forth the truth of the gospel in your community. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So think about when you look at that list of all the things that God has given you, all the things that God has blessed you with, and think, okay, let's just dream with the Lord. Let's see what God puts on our hearts. What could we do? How could we leverage all of this? Now, that could be serving in the body. That could be striking out on your own and serving in your community. It could be both. But jot those things down on the other side of the paper. Make a list. All the different ways you think that you could leverage those things. Finally, I want you to pray again. So we started off with prayer, and I want you to pray again and just really ask God to confirm to everyone in the family. That's just the two of you, that God would confirm it to the both of you. But that God would confirm to everyone in the family which way to go, which steps to take, right? The steps of man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. And so pray for confirmation about which of those directions should we go? Where should we venture out in this? Finally, Matthew 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Go, right? Go and be a witness. When God created the heavens and the earth, when he created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the garden, his command to them was go forth and multiply. That was the first creation. When Jesus died, was crucified, rose again, inaugurating the new kingdom, inaugurating the new creation, before he ascended, he said to his disciples, and through them us, go forth and multiply. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. So go. So that's the homework. The homework is pray, Joshua 24:15. Write down everything that God has blessed you with. Write down all the ways you can imagine that maybe God could use those things for his glory, for his kingdom, to shine forth the truth about him, about Christ, about his kingdom, about the church. And then pray some more for God to confirm which of those things is the right way to go, and then go. That's the homework. So let's get into our discussion questions, and here they are. We've got 4 this week. What are some unique characteristics of your marriage that the Lord might use? So this gets you a head start on your question. You guys can begin thinking out loud with others not at your table, but others in your Zoom group if you're joining us on Zoom. The second one, how are you or could you be serving Christ together? Maybe you already are, and maybe your experiences, current or past, will help one of the other couples that you're talking to. What are you or can you be doing as a couple to give of yourselves to friends, to extended family, to neighbors and other members of the larger community? Make sure you look close to home before you start looking to the ends of the earth. Take a look around your Jerusalem first. The last one is, how do you think an outward-focused marriage can benefit your relationship? I gave you one way it benefited ours. Shared purpose, shared struggle, shared suffering drew us closer together, drew us closer to God in Christ. So guys, thanks for joining us for another edition of Homefront Online. And if you're joining us in a Zoom group, I will see you there in just a few minutes. God bless.